when I get up here, there would be some confusion going on somewhere. We think we've had a bit of confusion this morning about one of our announcements. We announced about Jimmy Burton having been taken to the hospital. We don't think that's the case. We think we're talking about Joe's dad, Joe Burton, who is in the hospital. And Joe was telling me this morning that he is not doing as well as they would like. And so let us remember Joe Burton as well as all of the others that are in need of our prayers. This morning is a special day. I would like to ask, just to see where they're sitting, all of our graduates, the ones that are going to be honored today, would you just stand and let us see you, see where you're sitting? Okay, great. Thank you. We appreciate you. We love you. And we're looking forward to honoring you today. I'm holding a story in my hand that says it was almost graduation day. Everyone that was going to be getting a diploma except Jeffrey. Jeffrey hadn't done all that he needed to do and hadn't been all that he needed to be, but he was loved by the students. He was loved by the administration and the faculty and staff. And since he was not going to be graduating and get a diploma with everyone else, at the rehearsal, the entire senior class stood up and began chanting, "Let Jeffrey graduate! Let Jeffrey graduate!" Well, reluctantly, the principal decided to give Jeffrey one final chance. And he turned to Jeffrey and he said, "I have five apples in this hand and five apples in this hand. How many apples do I have?" Jeffrey was straining for an answer. He kind of reluctantly and quietly said, 10. The whole senior class then began to shout, "Give him another chance! Give him another chance!" Well, Dr. Khaled, I am glad that's not our high school, aren't you? We're blessed today to have in our community a great school system. And we're thankful for that from everyone who's involved. We have a really good administration. We have really good teachers. And fortunately, we have lots and lots of really, really good students. And we have several of those in this room today that will be honored today. And so I thought, as this morning we look at what we want to think about, I wanted to express a little bit of wisdom for graduates. Now, I want to confess to you that your parents didn't always follow this wisdom, okay? Those of you that are going to be honored, your grandparents didn't always follow this wisdom, but what we're hoping is that you will be better than we were, that you will do greater things in the wisdom that is before us. The prodigal son is a great, great story. I don't know how many times I've said, if you look at the beginning of this chapter 15, Jesus is telling a story or several stories trying to get our interest in people who need to be thought about and brought along because they're lost. And he tells the story about a lost sheep. We like property. We need property. It's important to us. And then he tells a story about money and lost money. Money means something to us, and it's important to us. And those stories help us get a grip on what God is trying to teach us. But I'm telling you, when you want to grab my heart, you talk about my kids. And if my kids are out there and lost, you tell me about them. You give me something that I can hang on to, that I can hold on to, that will help me. And that's what this story does. It helps me. But for every one of us, and I particularly want to talk to the graduates here and the one back here today, and I want you to think about wisdom from this particular story. There are lots of people that have helped you. You are achieving a great goal that you've had for a long time now. And you've received a lot of help. You've received help from all kinds of places. You have parents. I know your parents. They love you. They care about you. And they have helped you. You've got teachers, some of the best that you could have. And they've been trying to help you. and they've helped you move to where you are. You've got good friends, and your memories are going to be about your high school days that will be about things that you've dealt with your parents and with teachers. But some of the greatest memories you're going to have are going to be about your friends. And then you've had to make a commitment. You've had to get up and go to class and pay attention and turn in work and do what you needed to do to get to the point to where tomorrow night you're going to be handed a diploma. What a great blessing that is. But most importantly, you have a God who loves you and cares about you and who has given you the very life that you live today. Too many times through the years, we've seen our young people in our Chester County school system, because of illness of one kind or another, because of an accident, they didn't get to be where you are. It's God you need to be thanking for the life that you have today and the opportunities that you have, the ability that you have to achieve and go do great things in our world. Every good gift, anything that you really see as good, that is good, is from God. So thank all of these people, parents, teachers, friends, yourself, but never forget what God has done for you. And as we continue to think about the blessings that we have, we want to see what God has done for us. And this thing is not moving along. And I would move you along with some notes that I have here. I want to give you three things that you can think about from this story. As you look at this story, it has a sad beginning, but a fantastic end. And so we want to take a look at this concept of suggestions of wisdom from the prodigal son. Number one, don't underestimate the importance of your attitude. Attitude is so much of what life is about. When we look at this young man, we see this kind of an attitude. He was rebellious. He was going to do something that just wasn't done in this circumstance, in this culture. He was selfish. Give me. He was self-centered. I want to do what I want to do, and I want to do it in my way. And I don't need anyone giving me advice, telling me what to do. That's the kind of attitude this young man had. It was a give me what is mine and leave me alone. When we begin to think about this kind of attitude, here's the end result. In this story and in real life, we've seen it over and over and over again. Not just in this story, but in real life. Those kind of folks with that kind of attitude wind up in a spiritual pig pen. They will do anything that's fun. They will go anywhere that's exciting. They'll be with anybody that they want to be with, and they will do what they want to do, and they will end up in what God shows us to be a spiritual pig pen. But this particular boy wound up in a physical pig pen. There are many, many things that we see in our culture today. One of the things that we see is kids moving back home with their parents. It isn't because the parents have needs. In almost every case, it's because the kids have need. They go out and they live life in a way that they end up in what is a physical pig pen. Sometimes the spiritual pig pen is attached to that, and they don't have anywhere to go. They don't have anything to do except either die in the circumstance they're in or change their attitude and their thinking. Someone said, if your attitude is wrong, no day is ever going to be sunny enough. No material possession will ever be satisfying enough. No boss will ever be fair enough. No job will ever be rewarding enough. No vehicle will ever be nice enough. No praise will ever be adequate enough. And no relationship will ever be fulfilling enough. That would be true if the focus is all on you, in the way that this son chose his attitude. But here's the great thing about this story. There was a tremendous change in attitude. He changed his attitude toward himself. At first, remember how selfish he was and self-willed, and he was out of step with the culture and demanding what was his so he could go live his own life, do his own thing. He wasted his substance in righteous living, wound up in a pig pen, hungry. What a disaster. But beginning in verse 17, He changed his attitude. He changed his attitude. I will go. I will say. He began to think differently, and his attitude toward his past, his attitude toward his present life began to change. He saw himself needing to be connected, needing something that he didn't have, something he could not provide for himself. He changed his attitude toward his home. In my Father's house, even the servants have a lot to eat. I'm here with a pig pen, and I would eat the food the pigs would eat. His attitude toward home changed. His attitude toward his Father changed. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. You see, his attitude changed toward himself, and it changed toward his dad. And so now he's going to go, and his attitude toward God changed. I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. You see, he recognized what sin was. He remembered what he had been taught at home about how one ought to think about himself, how one ought to think about home, how one ought to think about his dad and mom, and especially how one ought to think about God. A great change in attitude. And then that person that talked about if your attitude is wrong, all those negative things are going to happen. They also said if your attitude is right, no mountain is ever going to be too high for you to climb. No obstacle is ever going to be too big for you to face and overcome. No goal will ever be too unattainable. No dream will ever be too impossible. No challenge is ever going to be too great. And no situation is ever going to be too hopeless. We need a good attitude. So don't ever underestimate the power of your attitude. Secondly, don't underestimate the power of your faith. Have you ever had anything more boring than one of my 45-minute sermons? I mean, you can do this because it's the truth. If I stand up here and preach for 45 minutes, you're going to be zonked out. You're going to be playing on your phone. You're going to be talking to your buddies. You're going to be daydreaming. There are going to be all kinds of things going on in your life and in your mind sitting right here in front of me. Worship is not easy sometimes. Even a 20-minute sermon can be boring. Songs can be boring. Well, I don't like that song. I like this one. I don't like that leader. I like this one. I'd rather hear Billy than Roy. And we just go on and on and on. And if we aren't careful, we stop thinking about how important our faith is in our lives. What our faith means to us in our lives. If you think about this young man, his initial faith was in himself, in possessions, in fun. He wasted everything he had in reckless living. He believed in total independence from the things that had made his life great. He took off. He got away from it. He believed so much in himself. He believed he knew more than his dad. He believed he understood life better than his dad. He believed that he was smart enough now to make every decision on his own, apart from everybody that had been around him and helped him as he was going along in life. And now, because I can get out here, I believe my life is going to be great. I am no longer trapped. I am now free to make every decision I want to. The end result, spiritual pig pen and a physical pig pen. But the blessing is, he had a change in his faith. Change in his position toward home. Now he's thinking, wow, I am in such a mess. I look back at home and the servants are better off than I am. I am not worthy to be called the son of my dad. And I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned. He had an attitude change about his behavior. Had an attitude change about his father. Had an attitude change about his God. But he had a faith change as well. His trust in his own ability had eroded. He now needed help. He believed he would be better off going home. He believed he would be better off leaving that life in the pig pen where he didn't have any friends now. He believed that a life at home and behaving as a son should, trusting in a father as he should, he now believes this is the best thing. And he wants to remove that sin that is between him and his father. What a great change in his faith. Do not ever underestimate, as you leave out there to do whatever you're going to do next, don't underestimate the power of your faith. And then third, don't underestimate the power of your choices. This young man had a series of bad choices. He had a choice to leave the love and care of a dad who did everything for him and would have done everything for him in the future. You see it when he came home. His dad came running to meet him. Put a ring on his finger. Put sandals on his feet. Put the robe on him. Kill the fatted calf. And they were going to have a party. He loved his son. But this young man couldn't see that, and he took off away from that. He made the choice to indulge himself in sinful living, a rebellious lifestyle, rebelling against his dad, rebelling against everything he'd been taught, rebelling against God. His choice to forsake those godly beliefs caused him great, great misery. And then he had a good living given to him. He chose to waste the money, the inheritance, instead of investing it in a way that could help him all through life. And he wound up with nothing. Series of bad choices wound him up in a spiritual pig pen. Look at his choices. Choice to go away from all that was good. Now look at him. I will arise. Good choice. He's going to get up out of the pig pen. He's making a choice. I will go to my father and I will say, now his choices are beginning to make sense. Everybody in this room sees the good sense in the choices that this prodigal made at this point. And there are several people in this room who have made the kinds of choices that he made at the beginning. Some of you graduates. You may have seeds of thought in your mind to change your attitude, to change your faith, to change your choices in a negative way. You see, sitting here today is really easy. But as life grows, the pressure grows, the demands grow, it's going to be harder. And so we're encouraging you to use the wisdom of this story to think about your attitude and your faith and your choices. Commit to the Lord, whatever you do, your plans will succeed. The prodigal, the word means wasteful. This boy who wasted his life changed his attitude, his faith, his choices. And he became an honored guest. So, we're asking you, be wise when it comes to habits that you develop. Be wise when it comes to choosing friends that you are going to keep for a lifetime. Be wise when it comes to choosing a career path and where you go to work and what you do and who you work with in terms of your career. Be wise when it comes to choosing a mate. Some of you are thinking, yeah, right, I'm never going to get married. Good luck on that one. Some of you are thinking, it's going to be a long time down there. I'm telling you, the next 10 years of your life are going to go so fast you won't believe it. Be wise when choosing someone that you're ready to say, I am giving myself to you for the rest of my life. Because that's what everybody in this room has said. And some of us have said it more than once. And we meant it at the time, both times. But be wise when choosing a mate. So, as you receive the honors that you're going to receive today, as you receive the diplomas that you're going to receive tomorrow, don't underestimate the power of your attitude. Don't underestimate the power of your faith. And don't underestimate the power of your choices. The Lord has blessed us with a great day. It may be that there's somebody in the room, not our graduates necessarily, who has underestimated the power of your attitude, and you've let your attitude go into a bad setting. You've let your faith move away from what it was as you were growing up and remembering those great days that you were taught and you believed, and your choices have moved you away from God, away from the people that you really need in your life and that you love. And so we're going to sing a song that would encourage any of you who might have the need to respond to the Lord. It's not about responding to Roy Sharp. It's about responding to the Lord to make your life what it needs to be with regard to your attitude, your faith, your choices. Maybe that you need to make a choice to become a Christian. If you've been taught what to do, great day to do it. If you've not been taught and you have questions, many of us would love to study with you. But we want to sing this song, and we want to invite you to respond to the Lord if you have a need. Let's stand and let us sing.